if you would open your Bibles, everybody needs to do that, to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. I don't know what that whistle was for exactly. But I get that a lot, I understand. It's not about me, it's just a gift. I've been given a gift. No. Before we get started, I do have Miss Flo, so I don't forget. Would you go give this, Pastor Gary, to Miss Flo? I'm not a fan book. And I'll hand next week, guys, we'll hand out some devotionals if you want. We'll do that next week. But we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, which is towards the back of your Bible by the book of Revelation. And I guess I put the theme in here, Jesus is greater than all and an anchor for our soul in tough times. So I'm going to turn there myself as well, so we can kind of go through this book together. So give me just a second to turn there myself. What we're going to do, I think, is we're going to read the first... Read it now? Yes. I'm not sure if I'm going to read the chapter, okay? It's only 14 verses, and then I'll probably only get through a few of them, but let's read it together, shall we? I'll be reading from my old NIV Bible. Okay, starting in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, read along with me. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Verse 4 continues, so he became as much superior to angels as his name he inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've become your father's? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. Verse 6 continues, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels worship him. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his servants of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool? Are not all angels ministering spirits to serve those who inherit salvation? So here we are starting the book of Hebrews. Now, some people like when I do this, some people don't, but I want to give you a little bit of an introduction to the book of Hebrews, a little bit of an overview of the book of Hebrews. In the top portion, you'll see Hebrews chapter 1 to chapter 4, 13. It's going to talk about Jesus Christ is superior in his person, to the prophets, to the angels, to Moses, to the Sabbath. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to show that, to speak that to the Jews, to the Hebrews, to understand how important Jesus is. In Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 10, 18, it's going to talk about Jesus Christ is superior as our priest. He's better than the earthly priesthood, the old covenant or the Mosaic system, the animal sacrifices, the daily offerings, all that kind of stuff. And in the last bit, Hebrews 10, 19 to Hebrews 13, 19, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ is superior for life so that we can have the faith to believe God. We have the hope to endure all trials. to love one another and encourage one another. The tone in the first bunch of sections is going to be instruction, and then the last bit is more exhortation or comfort or encouragement. The key words in Hebrew 1:4 is that he is greater than, or in Hebrew 7:9, he's better than, and then the last portion is let us have faith, and let us endure. He's going to give us warnings throughout, but the theme of it is the absolute superiority of Jesus Christ. He's not another man. He's not another prophet. He's not an angel. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Christ in Hebrew, how you see him, Jesus is the absolutely superior revelation of God and our eternal high priest. I guess that's probably how I would describe the intro to Hebrews as best I can. Now, Hebrews 1:1-2, again, starts us off. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at various times and various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he has also created the universe, or made the universe. Now, people ask, well, who is the author of Hebrews? And of course, we all know that God is, of course, the original author of Hebrews, right? The Holy Spirit, right, is working through the writers. God canonized all the scripture here. So God is the original author of the book of Hebrews. It's all from his mouth. All scripture is God-breathed for us, or God-inspired, right? Holy Spirit-inspired. And as far as the human author goes of Hebrews, I'll just be honest with you, it's not known for sure. Now, a lot of people over a lot of years, like, there's a lot of debate over it, too much, if you ask me, who is the actual physical author, and a lot of wonderful commentators and Bible scholars for 2,000 years have debated this, and I don't want to get into it, but here are some of the most well-known possibilities. Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Apollos, Luke, Philip, Priscilla, and Aquila have been suggested, but usually in these letters it'll say, hey, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. We don't have that. So you're going to have to forgive me if I don't say for sure who the writer is, because it doesn't say in God's word. Does that make sense? Now, if you said, well, who do you think is most likely? I would honestly say I'm not sure. Maybe Paul, probably I would lean to. But even then, I'm not certain, so I'm just going to say the writer of Hebrews. Does that make sense? Okay. And again, if we knew for sure, I would say it, but we don't, so that's the writer of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is going to say a lot about prophets and priests. So in my opinion, this is being written to the Jewish community or the Hebrew Christians who were steeped in the law and now coming to know the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, right? And so there's a couple things that you kind of have to know as we go into this. Generally speaking, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, there's a ton of Old Testament stuff in the Hebrews, which is why I was like, okay, Lord, are you sure you want to do this? Yes, I'm sure. So in the Old Testament, empowered by the Holy Spirit, a prophet is one who speaks to men for God. Does that make sense? So a prophet would be the person God would speak a message to them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then they were to give it to the people, regardless of how they reacted. They could receive it, they could kill them and reject it, it didn't matter. That's what a prophet did. Does that make sense? Now, a priest, an Old Testament priest, is one who spoke to God for men. In other words, if you were sinning and you were, you know, you weren't holy enough to go to God, and the priest would have to do a sacrifice on your behalf, right, to the Lord, almost as an intermediary, right, between a sinful man and God. And so the priest is one who speaks to God for men. Now that Jesus has come, we don't need any manly mediators to talk to God. You don't need to come to me to talk to God, right? You can talk to God whenever you want. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and men, and that's who? the man Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? See, you can go to the throne boldly and ask God whatever you want, whatever you need. You know what scares me? Most people don't do it. Most people don't go to him, or they're afraid to come up and ask for prayer. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago, maybe it was even last week. I was so proud to see people come down asking for prayer. Thank God for you. I know a lot of people are too scared to even come and ask for prayer. We shouldn't be. Let's just pray. Let's just seek the Lord, right? So anyway, but that's the difference as we go through some of these things that we're going to talk about between a prophet and a priest. Now, they both were commissioned by God, but their roles were different. The priest takes man's problems to God, and the prophet takes God's message to the people. That's how I would probably sum it up. Now, it says that in the past, God spoke to our ancestors in the Old Testament times through the prophets at many times in various ways. We all know this. I wrote down a couple just so that we don't put God in a box, but God spoke, right? It says in various ways. He spoke to Joseph in dreams. Do you remember that? Back in Genesis 37:5. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, he spoke to Elijah in a still small voice up on that mountain, right? 1 Kings 19:12. Isaiah, he spoke to in visions. You can read about that in Isaiah 1:1. Zechariah, God spoke through an angel in Zechariah 1:9. And even in the Bible, there's many, many more. I mean, God spoke in writings. I don't know if you remember with the book of Daniel, he wrote meeny, meeny, tekel, parson. Anyway. But he even spoke in the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 22:18 through a donkey, which is why I can stand here before you today. And so he still is speaking through donkeys. And my wife says, did you say amen? That was terrible. So that was horrible. Lisa. Yeah, nice. Well, so anyway, so God is speaking, you know, was speaking through our ancestors primarily. He would speak through these prophets in various ways, and then the prophets would speak to us. But in these last days, he's spoken to us primarily by his son. And the last days refers to the birth of Jesus, right, until he comes again, right? So during these last days or this last time period, until Jesus raptures us out of here, right, takes us home to be with him, right? The primary way he's speaking to us is through his son, is what it's saying. Now, spoken to us by his son carries the idea that the son is like the encapsulation of God speaking to us. And that's, in case you don't know, that's primarily what the Old Testament is leading up to. It's a picture of Jesus Christ, who he is, the Messiah, the King of Kings, okay, and the Lord of Lords. And so, if I had to put it in a visual, I'm a visual person. I don't know if it's because I'm a guy or it's just who I am. But that's why I love these scripture pictures that I make up. It says, I want you to picture this. In the Old Testament, God speaking is like individual bands of pure lights going through the prophets, right? Over various times in various ways, right? And the arrival of Jesus in the New Testament is almost like a prison. Not a prison. A prism. Anybody know what a prism is? Yeah. Okay, like two of you? How many know what a prism is? Okay, half of you. Okay, all right. Well, basically it collects all these bands of light and then focuses them into one perfect beam. Let me give you a little visual example, okay? So God speaking in the Old Testament, right? All those bands of light, right? Leading up to Jesus. And then God speaking in the New Testament, is God focusing all that light, okay, on Jesus. So we can get a perfect picture of who God is. Does that make sense? I guess that's my best way of describing it. I don't know if it makes sense to you. It made sense to me when I was making it, okay? These Hebrews, these Jews, these religious people, I used to be a religious person. They're very much into tradition, into doing this or that or this thing or that thing or that. And we miss the heart of it. And so all these things, he's focusing up. Now it's Jesus, okay? And God wants us to know that if you've seen Jesus, you really have seen the Father. John 14:7, he was talking to his disciples. Jesus was telling them, hey, you know, they're like, hey, Jesus, the disciples are like, we don't know the way to go. You know, where do we go? What's the way? And Jesus is like, okay, let me see if I can make this all this prism stuff. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm in the eternal life. That's what he told his disciples. And then he said to them right after that in John 14:7, he says, listen, if you really know me, then you'll know my Father as well. And almost like I was thinking, I picture Jesus him saying, now from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Huh? I figure Jesus is like, huh? You get it? You hear what I'm saying? Emmanuel, God with us. And then Philip is, bless his heart, Philip is like, hey, Jesus, you know, just show us the Father. That's all. We just want to see the Father. And Jesus said something in John 14:9. I have it in New Living Translation. It says, Jesus replied to Philip, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? I'm right here. I'm the picture. I'm the exact representation of who he is. Does that make sense? So if you want a picture of what God's really like, encapsulated in everything, in a person, you look to the person of Jesus Christ and you will see what God is like. Does that make sense? Okay. And it says here also that he is appointed, he's the heir of all things. And I love this Spurgeon quote. Jesus is the heir of all things. And he says, Christ is Lord of all the angels, right? Because he's trying to tell these Jews that Jesus is bigger than even these angels, which they respected, right? Christ is Lord of all the angels. There's not a seraph spreads his wings except at his bidding. And Charles Spurgeon was an old-timey preacher. As for all things here below, God has given the Son power over all flesh. All must willingly, or else unwillingly, submit to his sway, for his Father has appointed him. This is another wondrous encouragement to anyone who is seeking salvation. Christ has everything in his hand that he may save us. If we come and entrust ourselves into his hands, we will never have to look about to find the balm or the healing for our wounds. So here's what he's saying. Since Jesus is the heir of all things, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to be anything. You don't need to work your way up to be a good person. Come. He just says, we did a song last week, come just as you are. Do you remember that? Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. We can come to God, you and I, with all our warts, with all our faults and foibles, and come right to him, and he'll take care of it from the inside out. Does that make sense, everyone? Jesus is the heir of all things. He can break any addiction, any power that's over you, any unforgiveness that you're holding on to. He can break it all if you'll let him. Does that make sense? Good. And it says also that he's the creator of all things, right? Or through some of your translations say through whom also he created the universe or made the universe or the world, some of your translations says. And I love that because Colossians 1:16 says, speaking of Jesus, that by him all things were created. Wow, he's the heir of all things. So by him all things were created. Well, that means he has power over everything in your life, right? Whatever is holding you back from serving him, Jesus is stronger than that. Amen. He has power over it. It's just you're refusing to let it go and put it in his hands and trust him. Or I am, if that's the case. Does that make sense? Listen, it goes on to say in that verse in Colossians 1:16, all things were created, right? By him, all things, speaking of Jesus, were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. That pretty much covers it. I like what Colossians 1:15 says. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He is that, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. Does that make sense? Okay, he's not just some guy, he's not some angel, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 goes on to say this. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. It says, after he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. I love that. So, first, it starts off with saying, Jesus, right? The Son is the radiance of God's glory. So, Jesus is the radiance. Now, I don't know if you ever had reflectors on your bike. Do you remember anybody ever? Do people, kids even bike anymore? Or I just picture kids doing a computer bike on the little video game. But for those of us who remember riding bikes, right? Do you remember, like, if you were riding, like, at night, you'd have those little yellow reflectors? Anybody remember those? And now, those didn't light up themselves, right? It just, right, reflected light that was shining on. So if there was a car, you're riding at dusk, it would reflect. Okay, now, a reflector is just something that bounces light off itself, like the moon reflecting the light of the sun. The moon doesn't have any power or light that comes off itself, it just reflects it. That's why the moon is lit up. Does that make sense? Okay, so not so with Jesus. I don't know how to say this. He's the radiator.
He's the light.
He's the source, right. So Jesus doesn't just reflect God's light and glory to us. He radiates the power and glory of the Father to us. That's why when Neely is singing that song, speak the name of Jesus over everything, over depression, right? Speak the name of Jesus over anxiety. Speak the name of Jesus. Why are you anxious? Because you're not speaking the name of Jesus. You're not seeking Jesus. Whatever addiction, speak the name of Jesus. Over the darkness, speak the name of Jesus. There is power in his name. There is glory. There is radiating power from the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? It also says that Jesus is the representation. It says the exact representation. The word for representation in Greek, it almost sounds like character. It's pretty close. Character or something like that. And it's the instrument used for engraving, like a tool or a stamp. And it's the exact expression, image, likeness, or precise reproduction in every respect. So here's an example. When it says Jesus, right, the Son is the exact representation of his being. So that word character, right, here's an example. In biblical times, they would use the same word for this. In biblical times, a Roman metal coin would be stamped with Caesar's face on it. I don't know if you've ever seen those coins. You know, you have the little side view of the Caesar. Anyway, and although the engraving stamp that hits the metal, right, and the metal coin were separate entities, right, they both bore the exact same image because the stamp was going ka-chunk on the metal, ka-chunk on the metal. All the metal was leaving an impression exactly what was on the stamp. Does that make sense? So even though they were separate, they had the same exact image. It's the same with, I guess, that's the best illustration I can give of the Father and the Son. Does that make sense? He's the exact representation, the character, right? That engraved image, that exact expression or likeness, that reproduction in every respect, like that stamp on that coin, okay? Good, you guys are doing good. It also says that Jesus is the sustainer. Now, this is important. It says that he sustains all things. The word in Greek is phero, right? And it describes someone, it doesn't sound like, oh, he sustained us, like past No, it sustains means he's actively, he's sustaining now. It describes or pictures someone who's actively bearing a burden, carrying a load on his shoulders, the weight on his, enduring, upholding, sustaining all things. He's not only the creator of all things, he's also the sustainer of all things by the power of his mighty word. Listen, so when the creator of the universe has put his fingerprints on you and says, I know you, right? I know you by name. Well, you know, that's that touch of the Lord, his fingerprint on you, his imprint on you. You're made in God's image, right? He knows you. And I love this. Colossians 1:17 says this, that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He sustains all things. He holds us together. And that's everything. I'll get to that in a minute. But even, I don't know if you've ever seen laminin, right? Some of you have been here for a while with me, know what laminin is. Right, it's basically, I got a little thing from Wiki up there, but it's a cell adhesion protein module. And that cell adhesion protein module, basically, it says, if you can read that last line, that's a little blurry, but it says, laminin is vital to making sure the overall body structure holds together. It's a protein module that holds absolutely everything. Without laminin, your body would just go all the... Right? And that laminin happens to be in the shape of... Interesting, don't you think? He sustains us. He holds us all together. I think that should give you great encouragement. Think about this. The same power that created the whole world really, and sustains the whole world, that holds the oceans in their seabeds and the heavenly bodies in their orbit, and is the same one that sustains, it's the same one that sustains your marriage, or that speaks a word of peace in the middle of your fears, and even can sustain us in our sanity, in our life, in these crazy times. He's a sustainer. Like I want you to understand this, and this is gonna, I found this to be interesting. I want you to think about this, because sometimes we think, oh yeah, I've got no problem believing God is the creator of all things. Okay, listen, if he let the atoms go, everything would blow up. He holds everything together. So does that mean he held together the tongues of the people who mocked him and slandered him, that were shouting, nailing to a cross? Yeah. Does that mean as they were hammering the nails in his hands and his feet, right, and his wrists or feet or whatever, he held together the molecules of that nail that he could have just said disintegrate and it would all go away? Yes. Why didn't he? Or the cross that he was being nailed to? Why didn't he? For us. For you. So that if you wanted to believe in him, you could not perish but have eternal life. So you wouldn't have to live your life stopped by fear or stopped by anxiety or stopped by whatever, shame, guilt. Does that make sense? He is a sustainer. I want you to think about this. Right now, the earth, right? This ball that we're sitting on right now. I wrote down some of the I have written down some of the speeds because it's incredible. I want you to understand, we don't even think about this stuff. So, hey, if you're doodling, if you're sleeping, if you're doing something in your mind, thinking about the Cracker Barrel that you're going to afterwards, come back to me. Think about this, okay? The ball that we're sitting on, this earth that we're sitting on right now, is spinning, in case you didn't know. Do you know how fast? At a rate of about 100,000 miles an hour. Celine, right now, the earth is spinning 100,000, we're not talking 20 mile an hour speed limit, 100,000 miles an hour is spinning the whole world. that you're on right now, 100,000 miles an hour. As it's spinning, it's moving around the sun. And it's moving around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. That should blow your mind, okay? While the sun itself is also moving at 64,000 miles an hour. So, picture that. And the whole galaxy in which the sun and the planets are moving, if you didn't know, the whole galaxy is speeding through space at 450,000 miles per hour. So if you add all that up, okay, you multiply that, you come to 1,350,000 miles per hour. And yet your hair looks pretty nice. Think about that. If we just thought about the one thing, the planet, 100,000 miles an hour, right? And then moving around the sun, 67,000 miles. And then the sun itself moving at 64,000. And then the whole galaxy moving at 450,000 miles. How are we still even here? He sustains all. Does that make sense? And why are you making such a big fuss about this, right? Because whatever emotional crisis you're dealing with, right? And I'm not belittling it. I know it's a big thing for you right now. Maybe it's health, maybe it's anxiety, whatever it is for you, okay? How do I say this, Lord? Help me to say it in the way that's not sarcastic but gets the point across. If he can sustain all that, 1,350,000 miles per hour, and sustain that, can I just tell you? He can sustain you in your situation. And if you're stomping your feet and getting mad at God, can I tell you what? He can even take that. And I want to say something else. Most of the time, let me just be honest, and I won't even say you. I'll just say me. Most of the time, I get myself in my own trouble. God's not doing it. Most of the time, the trouble I get in is because I did something dumb. Or I didn't do something I should have. It's my fault. God is still sustaining me there. But even stuff the outside, hey, it said the enemy's going to hate you. The world's going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to lie, slander, all these things. Guess what? He'll still sustain you. Does that make sense? If he's sustaining all this spinning around, right? He can sustain you right now. That's your God. Does that make sense? Yes, sir. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't even notice you had a question or a hand raised. So let me give you the... And I don't even know what I did with my drink. Is that my drink? And how does Mary Kate have it? That's what I want. How does that... Oh, there it is. Okay, there it is right there. Thanks. Let me get... Is that yours?
No, that's not mine.
That's yours. Oh. Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
It brings a new meaning to be still and know I'm God.
While all things are spinning out of control, and sometimes they are, be still and know that I am God. What? Did you have something to say? In the midst of the hurricane. Right. Right in the middle of it. Guess what? Right, God. Right. As we trust in him, I want you to understand that the same God who in a storm with experienced fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, waves are coming in and the boat's starting to fill up and they're starting to drown, the hurricane winds and waves and storms. And he just gets up, he's sleeping. And he just says, by his powerful word, peace, peace, be still, right? Those same precious promises, his word is still available for you today. I'm not trying just to encourage you. I am, but I want you to understand. He is a sustainer. His word sustains you as you trust in his promises. Because otherwise, can I just be honest? I want to freak out. I love this scripture picture. And I don't know if you can see it. See the Bible there, the chapter? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you see those words, the word reaching out and grabbing his hand as he's falling. You might feel like you're falling, but if you hold on to God's word, he'll sustain you. In fact, it says, talking about the power he's given us in the verse right before this, 2 Peter 1:4, I don't want that. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, and I love how it says, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, the word of God, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So whatever the enemy's throwing at you, your flesh is throwing at you, I can't handle it. Let me grab onto your promises. This is what you say, and I'm going to hold on to that no matter what. Does that make sense, everybody? The choice is, will you do it? Can I tell you something? Somebody came over to the house. I don't know if I should say the name. I won't. Just a couple days ago, and God had spoke to him. Somebody was speaking to me, and they were so excited. And somebody, Jason was over at my house earlier in the week. I can't remember what day. And as he was there, I got a call from some online viewer that was just in tears. They're like, God spoke to me. That's what you're talking about. God actually spoke to me. I heard his voice like in my heart, in my head. I know it was him. And they were just rejoicing and crying. And somebody earlier, I was sitting back a week before saying, so God has spoke to them in his precious word. It was a word directly for them. And they were like amazed. God still speaks today. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yes.
Most of the time, we're just not listening. Or we don't want to receive it because it's uncomfortable what he's saying. But receive it, okay? Does that make sense? Jesus is also the purifier. It's interesting that the same Jesus who sustains us sinners, right, by the power of his word, also chooses to purify us with his own life and blood that he shed for us, right? It's incredible. He could have let it all go and all of us sinners would just like disintegrate, you know? But instead, 1 John 1:7 says, by the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, we're cleansed from all sin. Oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, cleanse me, purify me from all my sins. How long have I been teaching, Pastor? I'm so sorry.
55 minutes.
Oh, boy. Then we're going to go one more verse and call it quits, okay? Hebrews 1:4 goes on to say, and I really like this, it says, this shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is far greater than their names. So I want you to understand, to the Hebrew people, they held angels in the highest regard. And maybe it's because, or especially since, according to Deuteronomy 33, angels were involved with the Mosaic law being revealed. And so they had a super high respect, probably a little, maybe almost too much, for angels. And the writer of Hebrews wanted to make sure they understood that even the name of Jesus is far greater than anything, any name of an angel. You know, all the cults, in case you don't know, I shouldn't say all, but many of the cults, Jesus becomes lesser instead of greater than. Did you know in the Jehovah's Witness cults? Now, sometimes I get them confused. Hold on, I'm going back by memory. Sorry, let me think. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. Let's see if I remember this correctly. Oh, I think, is it Jehovah's Witness that believes that Michael is the archangel? I'm trying to remember. Okay. So in the J-Dubs, yeah, Jesus, right, is actually not Emmanuel, God with us. He's the angel Gabriel, right? So he is lesser than. He's just like an angel. They're making it clear that's not true. That's like heresy. And then the Mormons, you know, the fallen angel, Lucifer, right? Guess what? In the Mormon religion, guess what? Jesus is his brother. His literal brother. Culty, stay away from it. Okay, I'm just saying. I'm not downing them. They need Jesus. I want them to come to know who Jesus really is. But he is far greater than the angels. And his name, even his name is greater. In case you don't know the name of Jesus, the Bible says in Acts 4:12 that salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That means the name of Darren can't save you. The name of Home Fellowship Church can't save you. Calvary Chapel can't save you. Baptist can't save you. Methodist can't save you. The only person that can save you is who? Jesus. Right. It says that in Philippians 2, 9 to 12, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, right? And I love the scripture picture because it's so true that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, even in the church, Paul was writing, and there was almost like they revered some of these angels, and there was even some angel worship going on in the church, and Paul had to write to the Galatians in 1:8 and said, hey, I want you to understand that even if we or an angel from heaven should preach the gospel other than the one we preach to you, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, let them be under God's curse. So if an angel came to the Mormons and said, hey, guess what? This is the real deal now. Let them be cursed. That's a different gospel than the one we're preaching to you about Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Listen, and even I just want you to understand how Jesus is so much greater than even the angels, right? We'll talk about that more next week just for time's sake, but I'll leave you with this scripture. It's in Revelation 19:10. You know, John is having this amazing revelation. He is blown away. He's seeing things that are in the future and being taken places out of it. I mean, it's freaking him out. And this angel is there, right? And he just, he's so overwhelmed, right? All this, he falls at the feet. This is the Apostle John now. Falls at the feet of this angel, right? And starts to worship him. The angel said, hey, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold the testimony of who? Jesus. He's like, hey, don't worship me, worship God. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony about who? Jesus. Right. His name is greater than any name. He is the name above all names, and salvation is found in no one else. Only Jesus. That's where your power, his heart, his word, and his spirit. Does that make sense, everyone? All right. Let's take a minute and let's pray. Lord, I just ask right now that you would help guide my prayer for your people today. Lord, I do speak the name of Jesus over all those who have been and are struggling with depression. I would ask that you would break the chains of that depression in Jesus' name, link by link, Lord God. I pray for all those who are struggling or suffering from fear and anxiety, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you would remove that from them, Lord God, even supernaturally. But no matter how you do that or if you have them work through it, I pray that they would be free in Jesus' name, Lord. Anyone who's struggling with addiction, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, whether that's alcohol, drugs, pornography, greed, self-centeredism, Lord, whatever it is, you would break down those barriers in Jesus Christ's name, Lord God. Lord, whatever sin is holding someone back, unbelief, Lord God, whatever is holding them back from putting their faith and trust in you, either fully for salvation or maybe for this next step, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would give them the power to do so, Lord God, and you would help them to make that choice and to do so in the power of Jesus Christ's name, Lord God. So for everyone who is listening, Lord God, by the blood of the Lamb, I pray the Lord Jesus Christ's blessing of power, of protection, of perspective, Lord God, on each and every person, that they may walk with you more clearly, Lord God, see you more clearly and walk with you more completely as they place their trust in you, Jesus. We love you, and I pray that blessing over your people. in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Praise Jesus is right.